News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Joe Lynham joins us with the business news this morning. Bit of business news around this morning, Joe.
Just a little. I'm glad you left me some business to talk about. But yeah, no, there's a lot of business news.
Oh, my word.
Today.
The oncoming tariff war, the global economy, is that too big a question?
It's not. I mean, if you're just waking up, Trump has declared a global tariff or trade war on the rest of the world, a minimum tariff of 10% on all goods entering the United States, across the board of 20% for all goods from the European Union, and an additional 34% on Chinese imports. But, and you've been discussing it, Ireland might actually be breathing a small sigh of relief because there's no mention yet of a tariff on pharmaceutical goods or semiconductors. Now, having a look at the markets before, they have just opened in Europe and they've opened down. In terms of the big companies, AIB is down 3.3%, Bank of Ireland down the same. Ryanair, interesting enough, because you've been speaking to the boss of Ryanair, they had been down initially 3%. And then you started chatting to Michael O'Leary in a really interesting interview. And the shares have recovered a bit, so they're down only 1.8%.
Well, News Talk Breakfast, does that have effect? You know, we have that effect. It's called the breakfast effect.
And it is literally moving the markets.
Move that dial. We've moved the stock exchange.
And across the board, markets are down. So the FTSE is down 1.3%. The CAC is down in
Joe,
Paris.
Just asking you one brief question, though. That pharmaceutical that they haven't been included in the 20%. Do we know, or it's still unclear, whether or not they're going to be hit by the all goods with the 10% tariff? Is that still unclear?
At the moment, they are excluded, and it is actually written down in a paper released by Caroline Levitt.
So definitely no tariffs on
thus far
at this moment.
Yeah, okay. Semiconductors, lumber, oil, and pharmaceuticals have escaped it thus far. But there's already across the board tariff on steel and aluminium. That's already in place.
Okay.
So the Brits will get a lower tariff of 10%, but they sell far more cars and defence equipment containing steel to the United States than we do. So, you know, it swings and roundabouts in that respect. I talked to Brad Setzer, who's a senior fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations and former advisor to Barack Obama. And I spoke to him immediately after the Trump speech last night and began by asking for his initial thoughts.
President Trump went big. These are huge tariffs, in some cases shockingly high tariffs, particularly on Asia. 20% for the EU is an enormous tariff to start with. And, you know, there's still sectoral tariffs for autos, still sectoral tariffs probably coming for pharmaceuticals. I think Trump took an enormous gamble. And this is a shock that far exceeds the Nixon shock on the magnitude of a major oil shock, a 50-barrel increase in the price of oil for the U.S. It is hard to know how big of a shift this is.
European Union, as you say, is going to get across the board tariff of 20%, not insignificant by any means. Do you expect the Europeans to sit on their hands for a few weeks until they come up with kind of a surgical response? Or do you think it'll be pretty quick?
I think nothing happens all that quickly with the EU. Everything has to be approved by the member. At least there has to at least be consultation with the member states. So I think it'll take a while before the full package is put into effect. But I would expect announcements of pretty strong retaliatory measures pretty quickly. I don't think it'll take that long. And I assume that Brussels has been preparing a range of retaliatory options. And if there's a 20% tariff, Brussels will choose a package for retaliation that's on the big side. It won't be probably across the board, just because I don't think Europe is determined to shoot itself in the foot. I don't think there'll be tariffs on LNG, for example. But I think there will be a real push to use the anti-coercion instrument to find creative ways of pushing back against a U.S. step that is frankly, a friend of mine called it a declaration of economic warfare on the world. I think that maybe goes a bit strong, but only a bit too strong. This is certainly a declaration of war against the current pattern of global trade. And it goes beyond any reasonable response to other countries' protection.
Well, listening, he seems to think that only globalists won't like this.
Yeah, I know. I don't necessarily consider myself a globalist. I've been at the forefront of criticizing China, Chinese industrial policy. I've been quite critical of some of the incentives in the U.S. tax code that have increased the U.S. pharmaceutical deficit. I am not blind to the downsides of some forms of global trade. But I don't think thinking I still believe that most trade, frankly, is in the US's interest. Trade is done when both parties benefit. And so I just don't believe that President Trump's response is commensurate with other countries' crimes, nor is it, in my view, a set of steps that are in the self-interest of the United States. So in that sense, yeah, if you want to call me and others like me globalists, go ahead. Better than being a dumb protectionist.
How quickly will it take before we know whether this has worked or not, or whether his plan is working or not, or whether it will backfire?
Look, I think the political risks that President Trump is taking is that the pain is going to be very front-loaded. The price increases will happen pretty quickly, not immediately, because there's still some goods that have already cleared customs that haven't made it onto the shelves, so to speak. But this is such a big increase in tariffs, so broad-based. You can't get around the tariff on China by going to Vietnam. But you can't get around the tariff on the EU by doing fill and finish in India. You can't, if you're a pharmaceutical manufacturer, you can maybe cut your tariff to 10 if you go to Singapore, but that's the best you can do. There's going to be a lot of upfront pain. I think even some of the sectors that may benefit over time will suffer in the near term. When the price of autos goes up, as it will after these tariffs, I think a lot of Americans are going to say, I don't want to pay. I don't know that these tariffs are going to stick around. I don't want to overpay for a car. I'm not going to buy a new car. And so you could see a fall in auto production in the US, even with the protective tariffs in the short run. How long will it take? Several years, to be honest, because it takes that long to reorient supply chains, to build new facilities. There just isn't capacity in the US to replace all the goods that we now import from Southeast Asia, from Japan, from China, from Europe, let alone from Canada and Mexico. So I think it's going to be, I honestly think President Trump misjudged what the US economy can take.
India and China facing huge tariffs. These are the coming nations, certainly the world's most populous countries, but they will have a huge middle class with huge spending power. What do you think those two nations will do? Do you think they will wean themselves off trading with the United States or something else?
I think China will put itself on that trajectory. It's arguably been on that trajectory for a while. It's just taken time. China's not an innocent bystander here. China doesn't import very many manufactured goods. Its import growth has been way lower than that of the United States over the past 10 years. As a share of its economy, once you net out parts for reprocessing, imports of manufacturers are under 5% of China's GDP. So China's already on that trajectory. And obviously, in the face of these tariffs, it's going to tilt its purchases away from the US. So if it has to buy an aircraft, it's going to buy an Airbus. If it has to buy soybeans, which it does, it's going to buy from Brazil. Very natural response. India doesn't trade as intensively. And a lot of India's imports into the U from the US are energy, LNG in particular. So I'm not sure India is going to cut itself entirely off from the US. But the net effect of these kinds of tariffs is the US is cutting itself off from India. And over time, there's going to be a lot less trade between the US and India. It's clear that President Trump's vision is not one where the US benefits from growth outside the US. President Trump's vision is that if you want to sell in America, you need to make it in America. It's a very Chinese vision. It used to be in China for China. These are the kind of tariffs that basically say, in the US for the US. Not even clear you could be in Mexico or in Canada. We didn't really see any details about what he's doing on USMCA countries, but the auto tariffs alone are going to be enormously disruptive to trade within North America. So I think it's really a shift away from the US as an importing country, a big source of demand for the rest of the world's products, towards the US as a very hesitant participant in the global economy, one that doesn't really want to trade and certainly doesn't want to import. Problem is going to be that the US is still going to run a pretty big fiscal deficit, particularly if some of the tax cuts that Trump has proposed are put into place. And I think in response to this tax increase, the tariff increase, the pressure to cut other taxes is going to be quite large. So the US is still going to probably need to import capital, which means the trade deficit, even with these kinds of tariffs, can't go to zero just from standard macroeconomic principles. So the end of the day, the US is going to be trading a lot less and still running a trade deficit. It's going to be exporting very little. You can't import parts, put them together in the US, and sell them to the rest of the world because the tariff on anything coming into the US is just too high. So it's really a very isolationist vision.
Are you surprised that the big captains of industry in the United States, the leaders of the largest companies in the US, haven't said more, haven't basically tried to dissuade the president?
Well, I think the president made it clear that he wasn't for turning, that he wasn't open to persuasion. But I think a lot more corporate CEOs are going to start speaking out publicly. I think Trump wildly overshot what the market was expecting, what companies were expecting, frankly, what the U.S. economy can bear in the short run. So as the cost of this policy become more apparent, I do think there's going to be significant pressure to roll it back. Trump has an argument that that these tariffs are going to force other countries to the negotiating table, force them to make a bunch of concessions, force them to change their ways in order to avoid such punitive tariffs. But the tariffs may be so punitive and so damaging to the U.S. that there may be a lot of pressure on Trump to pull them back. We don't know, but I'd be really, really surprised if companies don't start speaking out. Watch what Tim Cook of Apple does. Tariffs on China and tariffs on India are going to raise the cost of importing a phone by $100, $150, $200. Is he going to pass it on to consumers? Is he going to take a cut to Apple's profits? Or is he going to lobby really hard to try to get these tariffs rolled back? Because in the short run, there isn't any possibility to make something like an iPhone in the US. All the imported chips from Taiwan that are now facing quite significant tariffs, the people who use those chips, they're going to be lobbying hard for some changes. Otherwise, why would you import a chip into the US, assemble it into a high-end computer, and export it? You just can't do that kind of business. So I really do think there's going to be a lot of countervailing pressure, in large part because Trump overshot. He took a mandate to be tough on China and has turned this into a war on all trade.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.